It is a wonderful morning this morning. What a beautiful spirit. The Holy Spirit has brought us such a tender touch. Isn't that true? Isn't he wonderful? We're going to be talking today about kingdom fruitfulness. We're starting a series on kingdom fruitfulness, and they're handing out the notes. And this particular focus, this particular message is wrapped around the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. Kingdom relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want to go ahead and, as you have all that there, I just want us to once again lift up our heads and I want to pray for us. The goal of our prayer, you know, is that we want to increase our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We want to have all the advantage that the Lord desires us to have. And I want to ask if you, in your own heart, chime in and say, me too, Lord. I want to be closer to you. I want to know you better. And I want to participate, partner with you, commune with you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father, how beautiful, Lord Jesus, that you displayed the heart of Father God and then you left and then you said, I got to go, but I'm going to send the promise of the Father. And Holy Spirit, you have come to continue pouring forth the love of Father God. We want to thank you for the brilliance, the wisdom, and all that you are in our life. We ask that you would help us even today walk closer with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Kingdom fruitfulness comes out of God-ordered relationships. Kingdom fruitfulness comes out of God-ordered relationships. We were in our friend's house. Some of you may remember Dan and Martine Lucero. They were here last Christmas, and we were in their home. They're missionaries. Actually, they're Dan is the head in Foursquare. He's the head of the church in France. He's the main leader. And then he's also the leader over all of the French-speaking world. So he travels quite a bit. He travels to Africa, to every place in the Caribbean. Even he's all over the place. It just blows me away how he doesn't walk around with jet lag all day, all night. But so we ended up in their home. On our little vacation, and he said something, and he said they kept talking about, because they were in Lyon, and they went to Nice to live in Nice, and they were there to bring restoration and a good foundation to a church that had been planted that was really quite dysfunctional and quite broken. Even though there were people there, and their words that they kept using were, there was no fruit, there was no fruit. There was no fruit. And Dan said something. He said, fruit flows out of relationship, comes out of relationship. And what happened is, they've been there a year now, and they've been, actually the senior pastor is really not Dan, because he's on the road all the time ministering, but it's Martine. And Martine is there, and there is now the catching to of the right spirit. How many of you know you get the right relationships in God-ordained circumstance, and then there comes a fruitfulness that you can't get any other way. It doesn't come any other way. When things are in God's order, fruit comes. Everybody say, when things come in, when they're in God's order, fruit comes. It's just the nature of the kingdom of God. Kingdom fruitfulness always comes out of God-ordered relationships. It's very, very important to lock onto that, because when it's not in right order and it's unnatural, it doesn't work. There's no fruit. And it's not, when there's not the right spirit and the right submission to order and the right setting things, no fruit. It's just dead. It has a form, but no life. No life-beginning qualities. No work of God in the atmosphere. It has to be rightly ordered. Jesus actually said, on the back, if you'll flip over in the back, I have a scripture there. It's kind of small print, but if you want to follow along with me, Jesus said these words. He said, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. Everybody say friends. Okay. Now look at this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you love one another. So Jesus is saying, there is a, you've been walking along with me as disciples, and you've been my servants and all this stuff, and now we've shifting gears. We're going to shift gears because now I put you in a whole new category. The whole new category is I'm going to share the things of my Father's heart to you. And this is now a new level. It's friendship. This is the best friend you'll ever have in all of eternity. The best friend. It's a new thing. And he says, in the midst of this friendship, what's going to flow is this. I actually handpicked you. I chose you. I picked you. And I picked you to be my friend. And in that rightly ordered relationship, you're going to bear fruit that you never could before. And that fruit is going to last way beyond your years. It's going to remain long after you're gone. I'm going to cause things to flow into your life through friendship with me that could never happen any other way. And I'm going to cause, and this is, we got a lot of new friends coming. Not only young friends. Jesus in 1 John 2, 1 John, this was not there, but I will get to the next one in a second. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Everybody say advocate. Parakletos. Parakletos is that word. It's an interesting word, and I'll get to that in a little bit. Now we're going to continue with the rest of what's on the back there. And Jesus is now, he's setting up. Now look, this is the last kind of visit before the crucifixion. And so he's in the garden and he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, everybody say helper, say advocate, say parakletos. Some people say Paracletus, but it's parakletos. Anyway, advocate, helper. He says, if I don't go, the helper can't come. Now Jesus is saying, up to this time I've been the advocate. I've been the guy. But there's way too much now. I'm just one person. And I got to get out of here. And the reason I got to go is because there's going to be a duplicate. And he's going to be hindered by a physical body. He's going to basically be me. But he's not me. He's God, the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be everywhere. And he's going to teach you everything you need to know. He's going to tell you things you don't know because I haven't been able to tell you everything that you need to know. He's going to unload and he's going to help you. And he's going to do things for you. And he's going to be your new best friend. Everybody say, new best friend. New friend. So I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. And if I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And I used to always have a negative feeling about that verse there. But this is what it's saying. This is what, by the way, how many of you know, everybody in the world knows something's not right. Something's off. And the secular humanist mindset is, even though it's off, if we just have a little more time to work on it, we can fix it. And that is the biggest deception and lie that's ever been. Because man, we have to have somebody from the outside come in here and fix this thing. And so he said, basically what's this saying is this. I love this. He says, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And by the way, this is the way that, I want to just share this one little thought with you. Before Jesus returns, the world is shifting back to the nature of the cultures when Jesus first came. And there's two dynamics that are going on. The cultures of the world are becoming more rejectory of Jesus. And in the midst of this, the church will, those that follow the Lord, will have increased power. That same kind of dynamic Holy Spirit power. So those two dynamics are going to happen. It'll get darker and get brighter and more brilliant. Okay? Now that's where we're going. It's just the nature of what's going to happen. It's not a negative thing. It's just a reality. It's just a reality. And so we have a culture today that says, knows there's a problem, but will not use the word sin. But the problem is it is a sin problem. And the Holy Spirit comes to convict of sin. And basically it's to say, hey, look, I need to expose something because you're blind. How many of you were blind until Jesus showed you? And you saw that you needed him. And then the very next thing he says, I'm going to convict of righteousness. What's that about? He says, look, I'm going to show you you're a sinner, but guess what? You got hope. Jesus is righteous and he's going to put all his righteousness on you. Why? Because he says, I've condemned the devil. I've ruled over the devil. The thief has been cast down. So I'm going to do this for you. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Hallelujah. By the way, sharing recently, and I've learned this little path. This is just a freebie. I've learned that when you really, really, really want to walk in freedom, there's little things you can learn to pray. And I was really needing some help. And I found out because the Holy Spirit knows how to help us bring about a submitted order to God's ways, that there are just certain prayer processes that can be very, very helpful. And one of them I learned is this. I've learned how to repent before the Lord so that anything that the adversary is seeking to bring into my life to condemn me with is neutralized. Amen. And so I pray this way. I say, Father, forgive me of whatever is in me, whatever that would accommodate this stuff or even cooperate with it. Forgive me. And then that's a breaking of that legality where hell says, well, I can hassle you because you like this or you gave yourself to this. I say, forgive me for anything I've done to cooperate with it. Right? And then you say, now that was the chin up. Now you put your chin down and say, now get out. Harassing thought, get out. Rejection, get out. Abuse of spirit, get out. Lustful stuff, get out. And this is where you're empowered. You're empowered with the Holy Spirit because he brings truth to life and gives you the dynamic power to walk in the Spirit and be in reign in life. And so he says, now look, he says, verse 12, still on the back here, he says, I have many things to say to you, but cannot bear them all. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, and whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, this little word, parakletos, it means this, called to one's side, called to one's aid. It says this word means one who pleads the cause before a judge, pleads another's cause before, it's like an attorney, pleads another's cause before a judge. How many of you really have wrestled with some kind of a sinful thing and you just felt deeply condemned in yourself? You just feel condemned. And the Holy Spirit is your best friend and he's also your best attorney. He comes, come on, let me plead your case for you. Because I'm going to lighten the load. You're not going to have shame on you anymore. Because I'm your best friend. And I'm your pleader. I'm going to plead your cause. How many of you know that when he pleads your cause, you're like, I'm all right now. Need to give over to him. Say, Lord, help me, help me. One of my goals in this is to get you saying, help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. Just live in that openness to Holy Spirit. He knows everything all the time. He's brilliant. And guess what? You're not. You probably got a little brilliance in there. We all do. But he is brilliant in everything all the time. And he'll make you so much smarter than you could ever imagine. Because you just are walking in that rightly reordered relationship and the fruitfulness of things that God wants to do begin to flow into your life. I told him the other day, I'm really going to need your help tomorrow. And I woke up and suddenly in my spirit, there was a quickening. I went, oh, my best friend is here already. It was such, how many of you need help? Just tons and tons and tons of help. He's your helper. He's the one who pleads. He says he's your legal assistant. He's your intercessor. He's who pleads the cause for you. And Jesus said, look, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be able to lead you in all the things and tell you all the things and take you into the deeper knowledge of what you need. You know, did you know that Paul never met Jesus? Paul, the apostle, except for that one moment when he was blinded in that brilliant light, says, boom, took his eyesight away, and he was blinded, and Jesus said, why do you persecute me? Flash of, you know, now he's blind. And guess what? Everything that Paul received, he received by revelation of the Holy Spirit. And he wrote most of the Bible, most of the New Testament. It wasn't out of sinning relationship, out of having a relationship with Jesus himself. It was actually having a relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit and God, Holy Spirit giving revelation after revelation after revelation. And if he can do that for Paul, he can do that for you. And that's why he's here. So I want us to look at a relationship with the Holy Spirit that causes fruitfulness to grow in our life. And I want to look at a couple of points here. And the first one, let's go ahead and put up the point. This is the first one. Quench not. Everybody say, quench not the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about relating to the Holy Spirit in a way I want us to look at. If you put up the next slide. The next slide has got the verse quoted for you. It says this, do not quench the Spirit. Now look at the flow of thoughts here. Do not despise prophecies. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. And the very next thing is don't despise prophecies. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us prophesy. The Holy Spirit basically gives us impressions, words, scriptures, highlights scriptures, gives us things out of the Word of God to give. And it says, do not despise prophecies. Don't quench the Holy Spirit and don't despise prophecies. Then he says, look, test everything. Test everything. Test it all and hold fast to that which is good. Now look, we're all learning. We're all growing up. And the whole concept of this is not to quench. Do not extinguish. Is that the next slide? I don't know if I have that up there. Do not extinguish or put out the fire or suppress or stifle divine influence. Isn't that a great word? Don't extinguish the fire of God in your midst. Don't do that. You need the help, don't you? You and I need all that he can do. How many of you have just wonderful seasons where, God, you're so tenderized before the Lord that you'd be moved by anything? And I'm not saying you're emotional. It's just a spiritual condition that you're touched by things and you intercede for things and you're moved very quickly and easily because you're tender to the Holy Spirit. You're not putting the fire out. You're available. God's moving on your heart to show him things, people, needs. Things that he cares about. Things that I get an overload sometimes. I see how many of you see so much pain in the world. It's like I got to take a break. I need just be built up in the Lord. Did you know that it says, "Do not quench the Holy Spirit and don't despise prophecies." 7 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, "He said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So the Holy Spirit is the one who talks. So we don't want to quench the one who talks. The Holy Spirit speaks to us today when we have our ears open. And there's 3 things that he does. I want to just cover this real quick. With the Holy Spirit, he builds us through prophetic. The prophetic does 3 things. It builds you up. It stirs you up. Have that up here. Prophesy, speaks to the people, upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. Everybody say build up, stir up, lift up. So here's the test. Yes, put the next one. Yeah, here it is. Okay. When it says test everything, this is the test. To test it means, is it based of Bible truth and the character of God? Right? Is what's being said to you got Bible truth and it's based on the character of God? Because if somebody says, if they prophesy, you're going to rob a bank. This is not right. You may be happy about the money, but this is the wrong way. See, so does it stir? Does it build you up spiritually? Does it stir you up to follow God? Does it lift you up from heartache? This is a good test. When prophecy's happening. So don't quench the Holy Spirit. Test prophecy. And I think I do have another. Let's go ahead and put the other scripture. We're going to move on. I have put this out of the Passion Version. Now, this is very important. The other version says, when there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. This one says, when there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander away. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. The reason we don't want to quench the Spirit of God is because he knows what you're supposed to be doing at this season of your life. And he's always going to give you a prophetic vision for your life. He's going to give you a prophetic vision for this season of your life so that you can walk under the Spirit, walk self-controlled, walk with the Lord, walk in reliance upon him, let him develop you. And the way it works is that he develops you. You have to do the thing that he's asked you to do during that season. And as you're faithful to that, then he promotes you to a new thing. This is the Lord's ways, how he does this. So when you're faithful to receive the word, there's another scripture up here. First Timothy, 1:18 says this. This is a powerful thing. This I charge and entrust you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the what? Where'd the prophecies come from? The Holy Spirit manifesting through Paul's words into Timothy's life. Prophecies previously made about you that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. You need a word from the Lord. So don't quench the Holy Spirit, because that's where that stuff comes from. Everybody with me? Let's look at the next one, and this will go by quick. Number two, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Quench not, grieve not. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not. See, the Holy Spirit's a person, right? Holy Spirit's a person. And let me just read that verse that's on the board here. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Now, above that passage, there's also included all kinds of sexual immorality, and it then leads to this verse. So I want to say this. Bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit. Wrath and anger grieve the Holy Spirit. Clamor and slander grieve the Holy Spirit. Malice grieves the Holy Spirit. And above that verse, the list of sexual sins grieve the Holy Spirit. But kindness pleases the Holy Spirit. Tenderheartedness pleases the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness pleases the Holy Spirit. And this is what happens when you grieve. Next slide. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, you have a relationship without fellowship. Relationship is still there, just no fellowship. Does that make sense? And that's true, because even you've heard this before. I had a wonderful relationship with Eleanor, didn't you? I still have a good relationship with Eleanor. There's just no fellowship. We still have a good relationship. We're going to reunite. When I go to glory, the relationship will continue. The fellowship will continue. But the relationship's not gone. It's not gone. Somebody who didn't go to heaven, the relationship is gone forever. But fellowship will be renewed. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit, the relationship is still there. It's just the fellowship. Until you deal with that area of your life, how many of you are getting something out of this? That's why I said earlier, forgive me for whatever's in me that would accommodate or cooperate with a bitter spirit, with anger, with these things that would quench or shut off or cause you to be grieved. Are you with me? I just want this to be super practical today, super practical, so that you can say, okay, I want to walk with God, because you want to have that sense of delight and joy. Let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit is where the fruit of the Spirit come from. He's going to be developing love in your life, joy in your life, peace in your life, patience in your life, kindness in your life, goodness in your life, self-control in your life. He's the one that does all that stuff. And you have, just like Jesus said, the picture is, he says, look, I'm the vine, you're the branch, you're just a stick without me. How many of you met some sticks? You know what that's about. They're just stuck sticks. No fruit. But when you're rightly aligned with the vine, the flow of life in Christ begins to manifest, and the fruit comes forth and remains. Let's praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to make sorrowful, just basically grieve means to make sorrowful, to affect somebody with sadness, to cause grief, to throw into sorrow, to offend, to make one uneasy. We don't want to make the Holy Spirit uneasy. That's why you're saying, look, I'm having a struggle in this area of my life. Will you help me? Just count on the Holy Spirit will help you. Number three, resist not. Resist not the Holy Spirit. First one we're talking about, of course, is not quenching or putting out the fire or causing there to be the extinguishing of the life of the Spirit through what He would say to you prophetically. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, getting into thoughts and habits that are just lead you into sin or lead you into trouble in your heart. This is an interesting. These are people that have not only quenched the Spirit and not only grieved the Spirit, they just flat out resist the Spirit. Let's look at this. Stephen, in the book of Acts, is preaching a message, and he's preaching an incredible message, and he's got this flow of Israel's history in this message. It's genius. And he gets to the in the midst of this, and he looks to the people he's preaching to, and they're the same people that gave Jesus all the harassment his entire ministry. It's those people that were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes that resisted Jesus coming and tried to figure out how to kill him. These are the guys, the same people. Now, Stephen is actually addressing them. Now, let's go to it. And he says this, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist." Look at that. Always resist the Holy Spirit. You got a form of religion, but you reject the very power that would give you life. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one. That's John the Baptist, whom you now have now betrayed and murdered. You've killed Jesus. You have, who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. The word resist means to be adverse. The Holy Spirit comes and says something to you, and you begin that you turn away. You can turn away from the Lord. You can turn away from the Lord. You can oppose Him. You can strive against and run against God. These guys really didn't know the Lord, but they had this religion, and they had some kind of a faith that God wanted to take them further along, and they never developed in it, and they began to resist everything about God. And this is what happens when people resist the Holy Spirit. They persecute people who know Him. And that's what's going on today. The people with the prophetic answer for what's wrong in your soul are being persecuted. And they want to kill off everything that you and I stand for. Jesus said, if they rejected you, they'll reject me. That's where we're at today. People who resist the Holy Spirit. Now, the very end of this, I don't have a slide up here, but I want to This is the very end of the book of Acts. It says, now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. This is the Pharisees getting mad at Stephen. He, full of the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine the scene? He's preaching, he's full of the Holy Spirit, and Stephen gazes into heaven and he saw the glory of God. Now, they're seething mad, and he's standing there after preaching this glorious message. He's standing there, his face is beaming, and he's standing there, and he says, and Jesus, he sees the glory of God, and he sees Jesus himself standing at the throne of God. He looks up and he sees, and he says, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. So they were stoning Stephen. He called out. Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let me just go ahead and tell you. Jesus gets right up in the business of those who stand with him when others who resist the Holy Spirit are coming at him. And Paul, it doesn't matter. This is my final point. It doesn't matter how much you resist the Holy Spirit. He'll still come and get you. He went and got Saul, named him Paul. Paul became the writer of the New Testament and learned more and more about how to communicate with us the very life dynamic of how to live with Jesus. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and lift our heads. I want to ask if you would just pray a prayer. Follow me in prayer. Would you do that? If you would like to, can you do that? Would you like to do that? So what are you going to pray first? Well, I'll tell you. Can we go ahead and repent for quenching?
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I know I've quenched the Holy Spirit.
How many of you?
I mean, just because we're pastors up here doesn't mean that we haven't quenched the Holy Spirit on occasion and
resisted
maybe,
or grieved not resist, him. But grieve.
Probably should be a regular prayer. Maybe daily. I don't know. But certainly, if you love the Lord in any way, the Holy Spirit as your best friend, this is something you can do. And let's do it corporately. You don't need to come down here and pray with somebody. We can do it together. Amen?
The Lord is, when we said the word grieve, I believe the Lord has actually been talking to a few of you about a certain thing that you've been doing, and it's very difficult for you to not do it. But the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you. And the way that ministry enters is with a spirit of repentance. Holy Spirit, fall fresh right now. Fall fresh right now. Come rest upon each heart. Come rest upon each heart. Lord, we don't want to quench. Just say, Father God.
Father God.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I do repent.
I do repent.
For quenching.
For quenching.
Extinguishing.
Extinguishing.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Working in my life.
Working in my life.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Forgive me, Jesus.
Forgive me, Jesus.
Forgive me, Holy Spirit.
Forgive me, Holy Spirit.
I'm going to lead you in more prayer, but I feel like I have a prophetic understanding. There's going to enter more joy in your life because of this prayer. There's going to come a more of an uplifted relationship with the Holy Spirit. You're going to discover the friendship that the Lord has for you. And so now let's go ahead and say, forget Father God.
Father God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I repent.
I repent.
For grieving.
For grieving.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
I have been sealed.
I have been sealed.
For the day of redemption.
For the day of redemption.
By the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit.
Take my sins.
Take my sins.
As I repent.
As I repent.
Every single thing.
Every single thing.
That had caused the Holy Spirit.
That have caused the Holy Spirit.
To grieve.
To grieve.
In my life.
In my life.
Holy Spirit, shine your light.
Holy Spirit, shine your light.
Show me the areas.
Show me the areas.
That cause grief in you.
That cause grief.
I don't want to be numb.
I don't want to be numb.
I don't want to be hard-hearted.
I don't want to be hard.
I don't want to be stiff-necked.
I don't want to be stiff-necked.
I want to submit to you. Come in godly order.
Come in godly order.
And allow your fruitfulness.
To allow your fruitfulness.
To manifest in my life. Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For every way.
For every way.
That I have resisted.
That I have resisted.
Your dealing in my life.
Your dealing in my
life. I am so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I build an altar right here.
I build an altar right here.
And I choose now.
And I choose now.
To cry out for your help.
To cry out for your
help. To embrace you.
To embrace
as my best friend in life. Let's praise the Lord right now. Just go ahead and praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, as the Holy Spirit's here, because we prayed that in a general way, there's individual, very specific things. And so those specific things, as the Holy Spirit brings them, just here's the thing. He's pleading your cause. And He pleads your cause. Here's how He does it. He pleads your cause against the devil. He pleads your cause against the one, the accuser that's pointing at you. He says, no, Jesus' blood has covered my friend. And that condemnation is broken and that shame has to go. Let Him minister to you. Let Him minister that life to you. Amen. I have a few people going to be down front here, and anybody wants to follow up in prayer, we're going to dismiss. Oh, man, I just want to praise the Lord right now. This thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise
and as
you,
you're
Jesus.
Dismissed, if someone needs just an extra little attention in prayer, we're here for you. If not, please go over and enjoy fellowship and go back and see the new gate. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Don't forget Wednesday night. Continuing in Battlefield of the Mind.